the devastating earthquake that occurred in Nepal, and seeing the scenes of the catastrophe there, just the human catastrophe in the aftermath, very, very troubling, and a lot of aid efforts underway, made very difficult by the terrain, the location, et cetera, infrastructure, you name it. And then, of course, on a very minor scale and yet major for us in Michigan, we have our own earthquake this past weekend that ended up measuring 4.2 on the Richter scale, centered, I should say, southeast of Kalamazoo near Scotts. So they're off of I-94. And it was felt here in mid-Michigan that people instantly were on social media. What was that? Boy, the thing, I felt the rumble. I could hear a sound. Definitely it was shaking. It didn't last very long, but what the heck was it? And more importantly, then people start saying, you know, the cause, you know, what was it not? I think there's room for discussion on this today. So we're going to visit with Professor David Barnes. He's professor of geosciences at Western Michigan University, just down the road from the epicenter of this quake. And he's on the line this morning. And good morning, sir.
Hi, good morning, Dave.
Well, you spent a lot of time on the West Coast, your education, profession. I'm from the West Coast. Earthquakes, you get used to them out there, especially if you're right along the coast. But we don't have them here in Michigan, at least ones that we can feel very much. This was a very different case.
Yes, it was. We don't have any earthquakes in Michigan, certainly compared to a place like California, mainly because we're not in a place where these continental plates are moving relative one to another, right in the middle of a big plate. So the occurrence of an earthquake, an actual rock breakage and the generation of earthquake energy is pretty unusual, for sure.
So we should really be, you know, in a spot where these either, if they do occur, they're not noticeable. So what happened here? How long was the duration of the quake, and how far out did the noticeability factor go? Not just with instruments and measurements, but with people anecdotally saying, "Yeah, I felt that."
Yeah, well, first of all, I didn't feel the earthquake. I was riding around on a tractor that day doing some yard work, and my information is pretty much secondhand. The best source of information is from the U.S. Geological Survey. It's a federal organization that's responsible for mm-hmm. keeping track of resources and whatnot. And their information suggests that the seismic waves, the energy waves that were generated right here, very close to Kalamazoo, by a rock break about 3 or 4 miles underground, was felt in all of the surrounding states in Canada. And there was, you know, very noticeable shaking in Galesburg, this small community just south and east of Kalamazoo.
So immediately afterwards, people were reacting to this. And then as a few hours went by, I saw folks saying, well, maybe, you know, fracking has something to do with this, because there's been controversy involving fracking and injecting material into the earth to try to bring stuff back out of it. Now, is that a possibility here, Professor? Is there any chance that that could have been, you know, a cause of this quake?
Well, there certainly is pretty good evidence, very compelling evidence, that the injection of fluids under fairly high pressures, normally in the context of disposing of wastewaters, does result in the initiation or the inducement of seismic activity or earthquake activity in places. Youngstown, Ohio was a noteworthy one some years ago. It's happened in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. But the circumstances of this particular event are almost certainly exclude the possibility that there was any human inducement or human activities that involved this. There hasn't been any kind of high-pressure injection anywhere near there, although there is a wastewater injection well fairly close by, but it's been going on for 30 or 40 years. There is some drilling activity close by, and actually production of oil and gas, but that's an extractive process, and that's not known anywhere ever to result in any kind of induced seismic activity. Furthermore, the most compelling evidence in opposition to any human activities is that this seismic event, this breakage of rocks, occurred well below the levels of any of the human drilling activities, 15, maybe even 20,000 feet deeper in the Earth's interior. And it's fairly impossible to think that human activities would influence, in this location, and given the things that have gone on in that location, could influence a rock rupture and the generation of an earthquake.
Now, Professor Barnes, so in the areas where the plates do ride up one over the other, where you're in the heavy you know, the earthquake zone places, you know, the Ring of Fire, other, you know, worrisome spots where you can have massive earthquakes. Again, we're not. So what the heck caused this?
Well, I'm not a seismologist. You hear that all the time. I'm not a scientist, yeah. But certainly this this level of activity is pretty commonly understood by most anybody who's done geology, or even a basic geology course. And big earthquakes are the result of forces that are causing rock ruptures. And we're sitting in the middle of a fairly quiet area mm-hmm. where there really are no such forces. Now, there are far transferred forces relative to plate margins, which are hundreds of thousands of miles away. But those forces are just not sufficient in most cases to break rocks, to cause earthquakes. There is actually a pre-existing break, which was documented some years ago by actually an MSU professor. I hate to give credit to MSU unless I have to, but Dr. Kaz Fujita has done some studies, and he and a coworker did identify a fault, that is a rupture, a previous break in the rocks, and that previous break in the rocks constitutes a zone of weakness, which would then be much more subject to a movement to the generation of an earthquake under even fairly modest forces. And that's kind of their analysis, is that this fault is apparently moved as a result of far transferred forces. You don't make earthquakes in the center of the continent. It's kind of like pushing a noodle. You really can't push the forces because the noodle's too weak to transmit those forces. But in this case, the pre-existing rupture facilitated even these fairly weak forces in the center of the continent here in Michigan.
Well, no report of any real damages with this. Still, our most powerful earthquake recorded in Michigan in nearly 70 years. And the last time it happened at this scale was down in Coldwater, so I guess not too far away, as the crow would fly.
Well, in fact, if you line those two earthquakes up, you get a pretty good trend of what is likely that old, very old. In fact, that fault was probably initially developed, or the rocks originally broke, but for the last time anyway, maybe 200-300 million years ago. And that fault is now becoming fairly well defined by these modest but noteworthy earthquakes.
Interesting stuff. Not a part of fracking, but what exactly caused it? There'll be more talk about this in the days and weeks to come. David Barnes is a professor of geosciences at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo. He's very graciously joining us live on the program this morning. Dr. Barnes, thank you very much.
Dave, you're very welcome.